Well, this is the last week of a series on dealing with difficult people. The series is called I Love Jesus, But These People. And I'll be honest, this has been a difficult series. Oh, it's been easy to preach. Don't get me wrong. I have enjoyed preaching it, but it's been difficult to live out on a daily basis. Have any of y'all been challenged in some of these areas? Yes, I have too. I have been tested in this, and I've had to remind my, y'all think I preach at you hard. I preach at myself hard. I've had to remind myself of what Jesus said when he said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. You see, in my human nature, I want to lash out at people, but thank God I've got Jesus on the inside. Aren't you glad we don't have to do this on our own? Yes. Romans 5, verse 5 says that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Yes. When you give your heart to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to help you love people. Amen. Can I get amen this morning? Y'all had an extra hour of sleep. You better wake up today. And if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you know what that means? That means that there ought to be good stuff flowing out of you. It's what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. I want to read this to you. Galatians 5:22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I can't help but notice that love and kindness are on that list. Did y'all see that? Love and kindness and gentleness is up there too. That means that with God's help, you can be nice to mean people. Come on, help me preach. Come on, tell your neighbor, be nice. Amen. With the Holy Spirit inside of you, God's love flowing out of you, you better be nice. Some of you have a chance to do that this week. Amen. But listen, showing love and kindness to people is so vital to Christianity. Because you can't love God if you don't love people. It's what the Bible tells us. And here's how you can tell the difference between mature Christians and immature Christians. Are y'all ready? Here's the difference between a mature Christian and an immature Christian, how you treat your enemies. Again, Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. So the more you develop, the more you grow as a believer, the more you're going to love people and do good to people and bless people and pray for people. Amen? Amen. I want to ask you something. Did everybody get a Band-Aid and an index card this morning? If you did not get one, will you raise your hand? We want to make sure that you get one of those. This is very important, okay? Anybody need? Okay, we got a few folks who need these. All right, while the ushers are giving these out, I just want to tell you what these are for. The index card, this is very important. This is for the end of service today. But the Band-Aid, this is a public service for you because I'm probably going to step on your toes this morning, okay? So that's what the Band-Aids are for. The index card is for the end of service. So hang on to that because today's message is this. I love Jesus, but these people in church. I love Jesus, but these people in church. Oh, it's going to be fun today. Come on, tell your neighbor. He might be talking about you, but he might be talking about me. You know what? Just give your neighbor the Band-Aid because I think they're going to need it more than you are. Go ahead and just give it to them. The truth is, this message is for all of us. Every one of us. There's an old poem that says this. To dwell above with the saints we love, to me that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know, now that's another story. So here at the end of this series, this is one group of people that I could not pass over because difficult people are everywhere, even in church. Amen. So today I'm going to give you truth from the Word of God to help you deal with a difficult person at church. I have 3 points for you this morning. Number one, we're all different. We're all different. Look at somebody and say, we're all different. We're all different. Okay, you need to understand, first and foremost, that we are not all alike. This is a place where people who are different come together and worship Jesus. Okay, think about this. It's easy to get along with people who are like you, right? It's easy. When you have a lot in common with somebody, it's easy to get along with them. Maybe you have the same hobbies, or you play the same sport, or maybe you went to the same school, or you wear the same kind of clothes, you're at the same stage of life. You name it. The list goes on and on. But when you have something in common with somebody, it's easy to get along with them. But here's the challenge with church is that we're all different. And when different people from different walks of life come together, that's when we have to walk in love and unity. Here's the thing, is that the gospel is for everybody. Did y'all know that? The gospel is for everybody. It's not just for a handful of people, a select few. The gospel is for everybody. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Y'all help me preach. Come on, shout, it's for everybody. Come on, tell somebody, it's for everybody. And if we're doing our job, this place should be full of people from every corner of this community. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus tears down the walls of segregation. Listen to Ephesians 2:14. It says, Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus tears down every barrier. You see, the devil wants to divide us, but Jesus has the power to unite us. Yet Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the week. It's tough, but it's the truth, y'all. But you can't show me anything in the Bible that says that we ought to be divided as the body of Christ. Listen, I won't go to a church where everybody looks the same and acts the same and talks the same and drives the same kind of car and lives in the same kind of neighborhood and works in the same kind of job. Come on, church is not meant to be a social club. It's a hospital for the hurting. Come on, tell somebody, it's for everybody. Listen, there is not a single person in this community that God does not want for them to be saved and in the local church. Amen. I got one clap. That's all right. Just keep listening. God will use it anyway, either way. Amen. I truly believe that every church in this city should be doing everything we can to reach every person in this community for Jesus. I like to say this. The church ought to be heaven on earth. Do you believe that? Y'all believe the church ought to be heaven on earth? But let's look at what heaven's going to be like, y'all. Revelation 7, verse 9, the vision of heaven. There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, every nation, every people, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Think about the diversity of heaven. People from all over the world, every nation, every language, every culture, going to be worshiping God together. Amen. There will be no segregation in heaven, y'all. We're going to all be united. And if we're going to worship God together then, why can't we worship him together now? Amen. When you get a group of people together that have nothing in common, it's easy to focus on your differences. Ooh, especially when it comes to politics, y'all. Oh, help me, Jesus. I'm so ready for these elections to be over. Amen. I can't turn on the TV. I don't want to read the news, and I definitely don't want to walk to the mailbox. Get carpal tunnel just trying to carry all them political flyers to the trash can. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that Christians need to vote, and Christians need to be involved in government, but church is not the place for politics. Why? Because the kingdom we belong to is far greater than any political system on this earth. So many people look at their political party like it's their only hope. Let me tell you where my hope lies. It's not in a politician. It's not in a political party. My hope is in the one who defeated sin and death. I was lost and he saved me. I was sick and he healed me. I was dying and he gave me life. That's where I put my hope. You see, politicians come and go, but Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will reign forever. God didn't call me to promote politicians. He called me to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and his name is above every name. Philippians 2 verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every Democrat will bow. Every Republican will bow. Every independent will bow. Every conservative will bow. Every liberal will bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, go tell somebody Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Do you believe he's Lord?
Yes.
We have to remember that the church doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what kind of church did Jesus build? He didn't build a weak, powerless church, y'all. He didn't build a political church. He didn't build a church that compromised to be like the world. He didn't build a church that talked more about gossip than the gospel. No, that's not a Jesus church. If you want to see what a Jesus church looks like, open up your Bible and turn to the book of Acts. Because when I read the book of Acts, I see that Jesus built a church that moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. He built a church that was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He built a church where signs and wonders and miracles and healing and speaking in tongues and prophesying were normal. Maybe it's time for the body of Christ to get back to being the kind of church that Jesus established. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink in a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Jesus built a powerful church, a radical church that wasn't afraid to preach the gospel and fight the devil. And when you read the story of the early church in the book of Acts, you see that they went from a group of 120 people on the day of Pentecost. In just a few short years, they had turned the world upside down. Jesus built a church that stormed the gates of hell. And that's the kind of church he wants us to be too. I believe with all my heart that we are called to fight the good fight of faith. The problem is Christians are too busy fighting each other to go out and do anything for Jesus. Too busy talking about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. And did you see what he had on last Sunday? You see what she was wearing? I have a shirt just like that. It looks better on me. Y'all didn't know you sounded like that, did you? Too busy fighting each other to fight the devil. Here's the truth. When we stop fighting the devil on the front lines, we end up fighting each other on the sidelines. And the devil will do anything he can to distract us and to divide us. Because the devil knows the Bible better than some of us, y'all. He knows what Jesus said in Matthew 12:25. He said, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If the devil can't trap you with sin, he'll try to distract you and divide you and get your focus off of Jesus. Can I tell you about something that happened this week? The Holy Spirit brought conviction to me. I was dealing with a personal situation, and I was thinking about it night and day. It was weighing on me. It was bothering me. And finally, I got to the point where I just took it to God in prayer. And the more I prayed and the more I prayed, the more I felt like, okay, there's a rebuke coming my way. Come on, y'all know when daddy's about to give you a whooping, you can see it on his face. Okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me? This is what he said. It's a distraction. Give it to me. Stop worrying about it. Stop wrestling with it. It is distracting you from what I want to do in your life and in the church. So I'll tell you what God told me this week personally is don't get caught up in the drama. Thank you for those three hand claps of affirmation this morning. Listen, if the devil will come and distract you off of your purpose and distract us off of our purpose as a church, we're in trouble, y'all. Just tell your neighbor, don't get distracted by the drama. Amen. And if you don't remember anything else, remember this. The one thing that unites us is far greater than anything that could divide us. Let me say that again. The one thing that unites us is far greater than anything that could ever divide us. Oh, we might not look alike. We might not live in the same neighborhoods. We might not vote for the same political parties. There might be one thing and one thing only that we have in common, but that one thing is more than enough because Jesus forgave us. He saved us. He washed our sins away, and he adopted us into the family of God, and nothing is more important than that. We might not have a lot in common, but we got Jesus, and that's what matters. Amen. Come on, tell somebody, we got Jesus. Listen, you ought to be able to look at any person in this church and any person in the body of Christ and look them in the eye and say, you're my brother, you're my sister, I love you, I care about you. Let's forget about what divides us and focus on what unites us. Come on, tell somebody else, we got Jesus. So number one, we're all different. Number two, hypocrites happen. Be warned that hypocrites happen. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word Hippocrates, which means an actor. Hippocrates is somebody who would put on a mask and they would act like they were somebody that they were not. In other words, a hypocrite is a pretender. They might talk like Jesus, but they don't act like Jesus. I hate to tell you this, y'all, but there are hypocrites in every church. Every church. Except Generation Church. Every church, y'all. There are hypocrites everywhere. Just because somebody goes to church, that don't mean they're saved. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than putting your head in an oven makes you a biscuit. Doesn't make you a Christian any more than sticking your head in a freezer makes you a popsicle. There's only one way to become a Christian, and it's not by attending church. It's not by doing good deeds. It's by surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, talking about Jesus, there is salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You need to know, y'all, you need to understand this morning that there are Christians in church and there are non-Christians in church. And sometimes they all act the same. I'm just trying to help y'all. I had to learn this the hard way. I had to learn it the tough way. I thought somebody was a Christian. Like, who are you? Come on, y'all. You need to know that some people play church. They act like heaven on Sunday, but they live like hell all week long. They act like they're right, but they're not living right. Listen, not everybody that sits in church is really saved. I heard about a story about this little old country church, and everybody was gathering for service on Sunday morning, and the service was getting ready to start before the music began. Smoke filled the little church. They felt like there were flames all around them, and all of a sudden, in walks the devil. The devil showed up at church on a Sunday morning. Everybody was screaming and running, and everybody fled out of the church except one little man sitting on the fourth row. And the devil walked up to him and said, "Ain't you afraid of me?" He said, "Well, I've been married to your sister for 30 years. Why should I be afraid of you?" I ain't scared of you. Oh, not everybody who goes to church is really saved, yo. Do you know that I had somebody, I was running an errand yesterday, and I had my Generation Church shirt on, and I had somebody approach me in a parking lot, and they started talking to me, and this person wasn't going to church at all, and said, I probably won't ever go to church again. And he asked me, why should I go to church when so many Christians are hypocrites? Woo! It's a valid question, y'all. We've all dealt with hypocrites. I know I have. Oh, I knew a church leader who preached hard on purity but was having an affair the whole time. When I was working at a music store in college, I had a coworker who had the Holy Bible on his desk, but he ran his dirty mouth all day long. I had that neighbor who was always inviting me to his church, but while he was inviting me to his church, he was gossiping about everybody else in the whole neighborhood. I hate to say it, but hypocrites happen, and we have all dealt with them. If you haven't dealt with a hypocrite, just wait. But I want to encourage you a little bit. Listen, when you're dealing with a hypocrite, remember Jesus dealt with them too. In fact, Jesus dealt with them all the time. He said in Matthew 23:25, he said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Boy, Jesus preached hard, didn't he? He hit the nail on the head. He said, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish. In other words, you're all about the outward appearance. But inside, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. In other words, I come and I give God praise on Sunday morning, but I'm really not serving him. I'm serving me. Jesus said, blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, and then the outside will also be clean. Do you know that's how God works? He doesn't work from the outside in. He works from the inside out. You've got it. Then look at what he said in verse 33. He said, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Whew. Jesus said, you better get right or you're going straight to hell. You look all spiritual. You look all churched up on Sunday morning. Woo! But you ain't serving God. You're serving me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. Jesus confronted hypocrites because he hates hypocrisy. You may have heard me say this before, but the next time you invite somebody to church and they say, I can't stand all those hypocrites, guess what you get to tell them? You know what? Jesus feels the same way as you do. He can't stand hypocrites. Why don't we come and worship Jesus? Because ultimately, it's not about people. It's about him. Jesus is the only perfect example, and he's the only one who won't disappoint you. Listen, I might disappoint you. The person sitting next to you might disappoint you. But here's the good gospel truth is that Jesus never, ever disappoints. We have to remember never to let people keep us from Jesus. Yes, there may be hypocrites in church, but guess what? There are many, many people who love Jesus. And they'll love you too. And here's how you can tell the real Christians from the fake Christians. Y'all ready for this? Jesus made it easy. He said in Matthew 7:16, you'll know them by their fruits. Here's how you know the real from the false. Look at the fruit of their life. Are they loving and kind, or are they bitter and angry? Do they build people up, or do they tear them down? Does this person bring you closer to God? Do they challenge you to grow in your faith? How do you feel after you've been around them? Some people, I spend time with them and I leave out of that room so fired up I could spit fire. And other people, I've been spending time around them, leave the room, I feel like I've been set on fire. All right, you know what I mean? Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. Amen. Do they make you feel good about going to church, or they make you question why you even attend church? Let me give you some advice. Don't get caught up in the drama. Think about a retired pastor who was walking down the sidewalk one day, and he noticed a little boy on somebody's front porch, and he was trying to ring the doorbell, but he wasn't quite tall enough. He was on his tippy toes, he was jumping, and he couldn't get at that doorbell. So the kind pastor walked up and said, "Son, let me help you." So he reaches down and he rings the doorbell and he says, "Okay, son, now what do we do?" He said, "Preacher, now we run." Tell somebody don't get caught up in the drama. See, hypocrites will trick you. They'll lure you in, okay? They'll say, "We need to talk about them so we can pray for them." And then 3 weeks later, you hadn't prayed one time. People will let you down. Hypocrites will hurt you. But remember that Jesus is the one true example. A lot of people leave church because of hypocrites, y'all. But like the old preacher told me one time, I'll never forget it. He said, "I'd rather go to church with the hypocrites than go to hell with them." Last point this morning while the musicians come. Number one, we're all different, so let's focus on what unites us. Number two, hypocrites happen, so keep your eyes on Jesus. And this is my final point. Point number three is be a peacemaker. Amen. Come on, tell somebody, be a peacemaker. Listen, as much as possible, make peace with the person who wronged you. And that's a hard thing to do. That's tough because when you're hurt, what do? You shut down. You say, I'm not going around you. I'm not talking at you. I'm not looking at you. If you come in Walmart, I'm going to go over to Target. If you come into Target, I'm going to drive to Raleigh and go to the last roses that they have left. All right, come on. You avoid people. But we as believers ought to do everything we can to make peace with people. Listen, strife and division, it will affect you. It will affect your relationships with other people, and it will affect your relationship with God. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." That's how important reconciliation is to Jesus. Jesus said, don't come and praise, don't come and praise, don't come and worship, don't do nothing. You need to go make it right and then come back and worship. Woo. Here's what I found. Conflict can strengthen a relationship if it's handled the right way. But it'll destroy it if it's handled the wrong way. And Jesus actually gave us a plan of how to make things right with people. Did you know that? It's found in Matthew chapter 18. And for the sake of time, I'll just summarize it this morning. Three simple steps. Step number one, meet with them face to face. Come on, somebody say face to face. That's what Jesus said. That's the first thing that you're supposed to do. According to Jesus, when there's a difficult person at church, you meet with them face to face and talk to them. Mm. 95% of all church problems could be solved if we just did what Jesus said. Mm. Most people skip this step. Did you know that? I've been guilty of it. I think we've all been guilty of it. We skip step number one, we don't go to them and talk to them face to face. More often than not, instead of being a peacemaker, what do? We become a politician. Oh, we go to everybody else. Can you believe what they did to me? The nerve, the audacity of what she did. You tell everybody else. But Jesus didn't say go to everybody else. He said go to the person who offended you. Hmm. When you go to other people instead of the one who hurts you, guess what? You don't want unity. You want attention. One of the things that God hates in Proverbs 6:19 is when a person sows discord among the brethren. Listen, if you're going to be a peacemaker and do things the way Jesus said do them, you've got to start with step number one. You cannot skip step number one. Go to them. Talk to them. Hmm. Step number two, if they don't listen, take a couple of fellow Christians with you and go meet them. Now listen to me. Don't you gang up on them. Come on. I'm not saying get a posse together and go beat them with the Bible. Grab a couple of mature Christians and sit down and have a conversation and see if we can't work this thing out. And Jesus said, ultimately, if they don't listen, then take it to the leadership of the church. That's the last step. Not the first step. I remember when I was first starting off in ministry, people would come to me and they would meet with me and they would complain to me about other church members. I'll never forget one day, one person came in the morning to complain about this other person, and then the other person came in the afternoon to complain about the first person. And I would ask them, well, have you talked to them about this? Well, no. It's not God's way, y'all. You see, we can't pursue unity and peace and try to get attention and sympathy from everybody else at the same time. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves if we're going to do what Jesus said, do. Follow His plan, do it His way. Listen, you've tried it on your own. Has it worked? No. Try it Jesus' way, and you'll be amazed at what God can do through you. Amen. Focus on unites us. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Will you stand with me this morning as we pray? Let's just close our eyes for a moment and take this thing to God today. Father, we pray for unity in the church. God, not just in Generation Church, but Lord, in the body of Christ, in churches all across our community. When churches are splitting and dividing, God, we pray, Lord, that You would unite us together, that the body of Christ would stop. We would stop fighting each other and start fighting the enemy. Lord, we thank You that You have called us to unity. And Lord, we understand the difficult reality is that perfect unity is not possible without You. So Lord, we pray, God, that You would give us the boldness, give us the faith, God, to depend upon You. Lord, to walk not in our own love, but in Your love. God, to settle things not our own way, but to do things Your way. Lord, thank You, God, that when we follow Your leading, when we listen to You and obey Your voice, we thank You, God, that healing and restoration can happen. Thank You, Jesus. God, we thank You for uniting us as a church family of all kinds of different people. And Lord, may we always keep our focus on Jesus. God, may we never get caught up in things that divide us, but may we never forget that Jesus, You're the one who unites us. Lord, may we be the kind of church that You want us to be. Not where we're serving ourselves, but we're serving You. Not where we're moving in our own wisdom and our own understanding, but where we're moved and driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. God, help us to love unity and hate division. God, forgive us for the times that we've been self-centered. And Lord, help us to make peace with one another. Will you continue to pray for just a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to search your hearts? Is there somebody that you need to make peace with today? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God. Listen, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but the Holy Spirit knows, and there's a reason that you're listening to this message right now. There is a relationship that has been broken where God wants to bring restoration and reconciliation. He wants to restore that relationship. Come on, continue to seek God about that right now. Lord, show us, God, if there's any bitterness, if there's any unforgiveness. God, if there's any hostility in our hearts, show us, God. Show us as we stand in Your presence. And God, give us the boldness to seek reconciliation. Help us, God, to humble ourselves and obey what you tell us to do. And I thank you, Lord, for healing. I thank you for restoration. Thank you for unity in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, if you need to make peace with somebody, do it today. Don't leave without making it right. Don't lay your head on your pillow tonight with animosity or ill will towards anybody. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Now, while we continue to pray, I want you to take that index card out and just hold it in your hand. I want to ask you to pray about something with me. Next Sunday is Friends and Family Day. And I want to challenge you to write down the names of at least 3 people on this card, whether they be family or friends or co-workers or neighbors. I want you to write it down, and I want you to put their names on this card. Take it with you everywhere you go this week. I want you to pray for them and invite them. If God's already laid somebody in your heart, go ahead and write that down. Take a moment. I'm going to write mine down right now while we continue to seek God this morning. I believe that many souls are going to come into the kingdom of God through this outreach service. I believe that healing and reconciliation and restoration is going to happen as we seek God. Amen. I'm putting my names down right now. I was praying about that this morning. Lord, who can I invite? God just brought some family of mine back from out of state just in time for me to hit them up to come to church. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we don't take this lightly, but God, we pray, God, that you would use us this week. Use us in our families. Use us in our homes. Use us in the workplace. Use us in our neighborhoods. Use us to be a light with somebody. Use us, God, to encourage them. Convict us, Holy Spirit, to pray for them and intercede for them. The mighty name of Jesus. Will y'all pray over these names this week? Will you commit to do that? Come on, I'm putting my mind in my pocket right now so I don't leave it here on the podium. I'm going to take it home. I'm believing that God wants to do a mighty, mighty work. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've just been having just a stronger presence of God flowing in this place. God is getting us ready for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. And there's some people out there in your family, in your circle of friends, that God wants to be a part of that. Amen. Well, I'm not going to go too much longer, but there's one thing I've got to do. It's the most important thing. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have to wait till Friends and Family Day. Today is your day. Listen, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for my sins. The Bible says that God raised him from the dead to prove that the sacrifice was sufficient. And Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you put your faith in him, he'll save you. And he'll set you free. Why did Jesus pay that price for you? Because he loves you. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. You have the opportunity right now to put your faith in Jesus. I want to ask everybody to pray this prayer with me together. Come on, pray with me today. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I trust you with my whole life. Here I am. Lead me. Guide me. And with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer a minute with all your heart, you made the greatest decision of your lifetime. Come on, if you're saved and you know it, just give God glory for just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you for your great love.